We just sang together these words, "For I would have your will, not mine." So that's what we're going to be considering today, the will of our God and how we are called to do the will of our God. Our text for this evening is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be reading the first 8 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's found on page 1173, we'll also be looking in the back of our songbooks at our catechism question and answer in just a few minutes, but first let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the first 8 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus, that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." And here's our focus. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." And it's particularly what we find in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Then let's turn to the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 49. Just one question and answer there. By way of a reminder, we are working through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We have already considered "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and today your will be done." So Lord's Day 49, that's found on page 895, and let's read the answer together. Question answer 124, "What does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven." And that's as far as reading in the catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is God's will for your life? Perhaps you've heard someone say something like this to you: God has a wonderful plan for your life. But what is this plan? And if God has a wonderful plan for your life, why is it that God's wonderful plan often includes very difficult and trying times? Well, today we are going to consider the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done." Submitting to God's will, acknowledging that God's will is to be primary in our lives, is not an easy thing to do. Although we know the Lord's Prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer often, God's will and our will are often contrary to each other. Even our little children in the home understand this struggle. When we tell our children, "Little one, you need to clean your room," or "You need to make your bed," their default position is, "No, I don't want to." A little child has to be taught, your response to mom's instruction is, "Yes, mother." You are to do the will of your parents because they are your parents. They have the right to tell you what you are to do because they are your God-appointed parents. God-given authority is made evident in and through them. So as you grow and you develop, as you learn in the home, we are to submit ourselves to God's will, to submit and obey the will of another. But this goes against what is natural to us, to make our own plans, to do the things that we want to do, comes naturally. But as every builder will tell you, if you want a building project to go according to schedule, and if you want the project to have a good end, a good result, it is necessary for builders to follow a blueprint. Imagine a construction project where the carpenter does what he thinks is right, the plumber does what he thinks is right, and the electrician does what he thinks is right. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. No one following the blueprint. Imagine what chaos would ensue. Literally, wires and pipes would be crossed. In some way, we could say that God's will for your life is God's blueprint. God wants you to live, to act, to function in a certain way because he has the end result in view. He knows what he's doing, and his plan is perfect. And as we will see, his plan is for your good. So this evening, we consider this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for a submissive and obedient heart that follows God's will. Jesus is teaching us to pray that the Holy Spirit would give us a submissive and obedient heart to the end that we follow his will. In our first point, then, we consider this question: what is this will of God that we are talking about? What specifically is the will that God is asking or is telling us that we are to do? Well, the will of God can be understood in various ways. Today we're going to see two different ways of looking at the will of God. The first way of looking at the will of God is God's will in the Bible is often a reference for his ordained and predestined event. In this way, God's will describes all that is ordained and will necessarily happen. God is sovereign over all, and his will in this effect, in this way, will necessarily be done. Everything God wills happens. Nothing can happen apart from God's sovereign and foreordained will. For example, Satan needed to ask for permission to do anything to God. Satan could not move apart from the will of God in that sense. Again, in John 19, verse 11, Jesus says to his opponents, apart from God, apart from his power, apart from his authority, apart from his permission, you can do nothing. So in that sense, every creature is under the will of God, and we are dependent upon that will at every moment. We saw this when we looked at the providence of God back in Lord's Day 10. Nothing happens by chance, but all things come to us from the hand of our loving Father. So nothing happens outside the sovereign will and plan of God in that sense. So when we look at the will of God in this first category, our needed response is to submit and to accept these things from our God's hand. When we pray, not my will, but your will be done, we are acknowledging that God's will for our future will necessarily be carried out. We are to accept it from his hand, both good and ill. God ordains something to happen, and it will and must necessarily happen. When God says, let there be, there necessarily is. When God wills creation to come into being, it comes into being. In this sense, Romans 9 says, who can resist his will? No one can. No creature can resist the will of God when we talk about his sovereign ordained plan. What he has decreed will necessarily come to be. We accept what God has ordained. But this submission to the will of God is not just a passe, I can't change anything, so why do I struggle against it? But rather it is a faithful submission and acceptance. God's will is perfect. And there is a designed good end that this world and my life is being brought to, knowing that God's will unfolds for his glory and for my good. Even as Deuteronomy 29 puts it, this is Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children, that we may do all the words of the law. So in that passage in Deuteronomy 29, we find that the secret things belong to God, the sovereign will of God concerning what specific events will happen, what your future holds for tomorrow. We do not know these things, but we are called to submit to them as God sends them to us. So in the Bible, the will of God sometimes refers to the future that God has ordained. But when we are praying in this petition, that is not the aspect of the will of God that we are talking about. When we pray, "Your will be done," we are speaking of another aspect of God's will. Although there are many aspects in our lives that remain hidden, as we found in Deuteronomy 29, there are also other aspects of God's will that are clearly revealed. I want to read again from Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to God, but the revealed things, they belong to us and to our children, that we may do all the words of the law. That we may do the words of the law. So when we're talking about the secondary will of God, or secondary aspect of his will, this is called the will of his precept, or his decreed will. What does God tell us in his word that he wants us to do? What does God reveal in the Bible? This is how you are to live. So this aspect of God's will, his precept or his revealed will, is what we are praying for when we pray this petition, "Your will be done." We are praying that God would enable us, would give us the eyes to see his will, to see in his word how he wants us to live, that he would enable us to walk in the path that he has set before our feet. So although it is impossible for any man to rebel against the will of God in the sovereign sense, the first part, it is possible, and many people do, rebel against the will of God in his revealed or his decreed word. We are praying in this petition, "Help me to know your word, to know your will, to know how you want us to live, and help me to walk in a way that is pleasing to you." The revealed things belong to us. So we are praying in this petition, "God, by your Spirit, give me the eyes to see your will. How do you want me to live? What sort of actions, what sort of attitudes, what sort of things do you want me to do that would be pleasing in your sight?" In a certain sense, knowing the will of God is rather simple. It's easy. The will of God is not secret and hidden in this sense. All you have to do is pick up the Bible. If you want to know what God wants you to do, if you want to know what God's will is for your life, if what path he has set before your feet, you turn to the Bible. You turn to his word. His word records his will, how he wants you to read. The clarity of Scripture is quite striking. In fact, every week we read the law. What is the law of God? It is his revealed will for you. If you want to know how God desires you to live, read the law. Read the Ten Commandments. What does God want you to do today? What does God want you to do tomorrow? What does God want you to do next year? What does God want to do from this moment on to the rest of your life? What does God want you to do? He wants you to love him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. So simple. This is what God desires for you to do. But there is a deeper and broader application that takes time to master as well. We read this earlier from Romans 12, that by your testing you may discern what is the will of God. So there is more to understanding the will of God than just reading his word. It is also learning to apply that word to to various aspects of our lives, growing in grace and consistently enabling us to walk uprightly. Listen again to what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is God's will for you? What does God want you to do in your life? God wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to grow in grace, to grow in the image of Jesus Christ, not only in your knowledge, but in your obedience and in your holiness. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ, in his word, reveals how to live a life that is pleasing to God. What was the bread and what was the food that fed Jesus every day? Why did he come? He came to do the will of his Father in heaven. That was the life of Jesus. So Jesus he typifies for us what obeying the will of God is, but he also sends his Spirit. And by the Spirit, we are enabled, we are strengthened to be conformed to that will. And it is this conforming to the will of God that we consider in our second point. So as those in the construction trade can tell you, there is a world of difference between understanding the blueprint and actually following the blueprint. So although it is, on the one hand, very simple to understand what God's will is for your life, just read the Bible, it is quite a different thing to apply that to your life on a daily basis. So although we understand that God's will is revealed in his word, we move on now to consider how we are called to obey that will in all its aspects. Our question and answer 124 puts it like this. Help us to renounce our own will and to obey your will. So this particular petition, when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, you are acknowledging that there is a battle of the wills that takes place every day. In a certain sense, you could ask yourself this question every morning when you wake up. Whose will am I going to follow today? There is a battle that takes place in all of our hearts. Am I going to deny, to reject, to say no to my own will, my own desires, to renounce my own will? Well, what is the will of man? What is the fallen will of man? Well, the will of man, the desire of man, is a life of ease. We want to be our own masters. We want a life with no hardship, no pain, no trial. We want to do whatever comes easy, whatever's natural. The will of most people is simply this. Just leave me alone and let me do what I want. That is the will of natural man. But instead of praying, help me to do my own will, we are praying, help me to deny my will and to embrace your will. To cease from walking in the way of the flesh and to start walking in the way of the Lord. To consistently say no to myself and yes to your way. Or I could put it like this, illustrating. The two wills, my will and God's will, are like two paths. The will of man is the broad, easy, and wide way. It's natural, it's earthly, it's the default position of every man. The other way is God's will. It is narrow, it is hard, it is difficult. But the will of man, the broad, easy path, leads to a destination of destruction. But the narrow, difficult path, which is God's will, leads to a life of blessing and even life everlasting. So we pray in this petition, Lord, give me your Spirit that I would learn to renounce what is. Interestingly, when we read here in Thessalonians, the direct context in which we find this call, the will of God, which is our sanctification, the context talks about all sorts of natural, earthly, sensual desires. That's the will of man. That's the desire of the flesh. So this petition, we are saying, Lord, I know my heart is prone, is default, is spring-loaded to jump that way. But I have to say no. Lord, give me your spirit to say no, to deny, to renounce, to crucify the flesh. And help me to start going the way that you call me to go. But it's not just an individual personalized prayer. It is help me, but as our answer says, help everyone. Help everyone to carry out their office and calling. Help me. It starts here. It starts in the home. It starts in your own heart. But there is also an expansion to this petition. It is my desire that not only me and the members of my family and the members of my church would obey the will of God. It is my desire that all men everywhere would obey the will of God. Would live and act as you call us to in your word. So this particular petition is once again reminding us that the church is used by Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Making disciples of all nations is teaching people the will of God. Teaching them to observe all that he has commanded. So not only am I concerned with my own heart and the members of my church and family, but I want the world to say no to the sinful, natural, fallen, sensual desires and to start living in accordance with your word. But not only am I concerned with the actions, I'm also concerned with the attitudes. We want obedience to come from a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. It is our desire in this prayer, help me to obey as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Help me to say no to my own will and to say yes to your will without any backtalk. I'm sure every one of us here can think of an example, maybe in their life or the life of someone else, where you could see it on their face that what they were doing was a compelled action contrary to desire. I'm doing this because I'm being forced to do it, but I don't really want to do it. Remember the Israelites. What was their wilderness traveling summarized as but a time of grumbling and complaining? As Christians, we are not only concerned with the outward action of the hand, we are concerned with the attitude of the heart. When you pray, your will be done, we are praying, Lord, teach me to love, to honor, to joyfully obey you. Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Obeying the will of God externally with a sour attitude simply proves the hardened nature of our heart. People can be forced to obey when they fear the consequence of breaking the law. But it is our heart's desire that the Spirit would give us the will and the way, the desire and the joy. Joyful obedience of God's will. So let me ask you this. Are you a joyful follower of Jesus Christ? When you see God's law, and we read it every week, does it strike you that this law is a burden, a millstone, a heavy yoke placed on your shoulders? Or is it, this is the life, the law of God is the life, the path that leads to blessing? That I am joyfully committed to thankful, obedient service. God does not want robots that simply go through the motions. He desires us to grow as children who know the blessings they have received. Willingly, faithfully, obeying the will of our God. Now let me ask you, why would we do that? Why would we willingly, faithfully, cheerfully, joyfully obey the will of God? It's because we are convinced that the will of God is for our good. That the will of God is the path lined with blessings. Why would we delight in obeying the will of God? Why would we be zealous for good works, our catechism puts it? Because God's will is good and it is for our good. Do you believe that? That's the rub. That's where sin sits. Do you believe that God's will is good and for your good? Sin convinces you that God's will is bad and it is not good for you. Do you believe God's will, His word, what He wants you to do and how to live is good, above reproach, and good for you? I want to read again 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. God's will is for your sanctification. Do you believe that your sanctification is for your good? Is sanctification good for you? I also want to read one more passage. This is the flip side of it. Matthew 7, verse 21 puts it like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. There will be a lot of people on the day of judgment that will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, I never knew you because you never did my Father's will. This is not to say that we are earning our entrance into heaven by what we do. It is saying those who are united to Christ by faith will do the will of God. Because that's who we are. God's will is your sanctification. Is it possible for those who are joined to Christ not to be sanctified? That's impossible. It doesn't happen. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, if you are born again, you will be sanctified. So Jesus says, the one who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. So I put the question to you again, do you believe that God's will is for your good? Do you believe that God has your best interest in mind when He says, when He promises that there are blessings that line the road of His word? And then our particular petition puts the angels before us as an example. Help me to obey your will as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. We seek to do the will on earth as the angels do the will of our God in heaven. There is no pause. There is no second guessing, and there surely is no grumbling and complaining in heaven when God gives a commandment to His angels. The angels are not sitting there, well, I don't really want to do what God's telling me. That doesn't happen in heaven. So we are praying, Lord, help my obedience to reflect the obedience of the angels in heaven. Because they are cheerful servants who delight and even rush to do the will of God. We are receiving the will of a heavenly Father who loves us, who has adopted us to be his children. We need to learn to trust that God's will is for our good. And although it is easy to read God's word, we are also to grow in consistency. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Sanctification is a process. Maturity, Christian spiritual maturity, is a process that takes time and dedication. It grows over time. When we become Christians, when we are born again, we are newborn babes in the faith. We are to grow and to be dedicated to growing in sanctification. Understanding how the will of God and the particular precepts of his word are to be applied in a host of areas and various situations. Did you catch all the action verbs in this particular passage? Transformed, renewal, testing, and discernment. As we grow as Christians, we are to take the principles given to us in God's word and apply them in the particular situations of life. We want to make the best use of the time to consider which works would be pleasing to our God. So as we grow in our sanctification, we are no longer asking, is this sin or isn't this sin? Often our situations force us to ask, is this wise? Is this prudent? Is this the best use of my day? Is this the best use of my time? Not only are we avoiding things that God says, this is sin, you can't do that, we are pursuing the path to become most like Christ in our daily walk below. As it is with food, for one simple example, a little junk food is not bad, but eating only junk food is not for your good. So it is, as Christians, we are learning to apply the consistency of God's word to various aspects of our lives. Discernment is where we apply the principles of God's word to all areas of our life, to be renewed so that we see what is pleasing to our God. To conclude, understanding and obeying the will of God is our petition and it is the prayer of our heart. We are asking the Father to conform us, to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ by the strength of his Spirit. So we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are your desires, are your choices, is your attitude reflective of this truth? That you are not your own, but you've been purchased body and soul? So as our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for a submissive and obedient heart that follows God's will. When we follow the blueprint of God's will, we can rest assured that the structure of our life will be pleasing in his sight. Your will be done. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your revealed will, the desire that you have given to us in your word, telling us how we are to live. And we acknowledge that it is your will that we are to be sanctified. So may we, by the strength of your Spirit, be sanctified. May we say no to our own desires, and may we begin to be conformed in the image of Christ, who has purchased us and made us to be a new people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.